Do you think the universe gives us second chances when we don't follow our intuition?
Yeah, yes. It's like GPS, recalculating,
recalibrating,
absolutely. Because the other part of that is that there is in the quantum field in that universal time, there's no time. So even though we feel like we're moving linearly through, you know, my 20s, my 30s, my 40s, oops, I should have done this here, now I'm here. That's just on a linear timeline. Mm-hmm. And we know from quantum entanglement that doesn't really exist. So everything is happening
right now.
So in answer to your question, absolutely. As many as you need.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right. Does that help?
People say, well, you learn from your mistakes. So I think that maybe has something to do with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't necessarily have to make the mistake to learn, but it can be part of the process for mm-hmm. sure. I know for me, it was a big part of the process.
To go way on the other side.
Yeah.
You call that contrast?
Yeah.
Where you do the opposite of what you could be doing and you feel like, oh, I never want to feel that way again.
Right.
And so then we pop back and we start moving in the other direction.
Having the courage to look at that is a, I guess that's the thing. It's a look inward, not outward for the solution. Mm-hmm. Right? The solution always lies in us. It's not, it may appear to be a job we don't like or a spouse we're struggling with or a sibling that, but the solution is always internal and that can affect the, but if we try to just change outside to make ourselves feel better, we're in a never-ending cycle because there's always something that you're going to react to.
You can't control people.
Funny about
Have you
that.
Noticed?
I know.
You can try, but we can't control people. People are going to do what they're going to do.
Yeah, and circumstances.
Circumstances, that life's going to give us what it gives us, right? And then how do we respond to that?
So we cover a lot of this stuff during our discussions.
Yeah.
Come and hang out, right?
Because
our front area conversations get kind of... cool.
Yeah.
I was going to say a different word, but it's cool. So everybody that works there, people, you know, my wife's at the front, we're all living this life.
Mm-hmm. We're all these principles.
As much as possible, we want to make sure we're all in alignment, going the same way. And I think you would probably feel that if you get a chance to pop in, right?
Texas, you mentioned that you came from the bush.
Tell us more about that, Texas.
Yes, please.
Tell us your story.
Yeah, my dad was I've lived about 26 lifetimes, I think, because, but a big chunk of my early development was, my dad was an outfitter and a trapper. So I was raised in some pretty extreme isolation, as was a lot of my family. But one of the things, I was about probably my mid-40s when I sort of realized that what was different about living like that, and Syra touched on this earlier, is there's just many moments in that. So we didn't have running water, we didn't have power, I couldn't go to school. We couldn't get out. There was no way to get to another neighbor's place. There was just our nuclear family that for lots of that time. And so there was pretty much every decision that you made, and my dad really drilled this in, could have a life or death kind of consequence, right? If you picked up an axe, you better be in the moment. We talk a lot about that. You're doing this. You better not have your mind wandering off, wondering what you're going to be doing later, because if you hurt yourself, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very much that type of a thing. And I think it trained me really well for teaching that piece, that we are, when we're grounded and when we're connected, we are really in that moment, and that's not a place to be feared.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And my dad was very much like that. He talked a lot, and I didn't realize, you know, kind of who I was living with at the time, but he talked so much about not being invested in yesterday or worried about tomorrow, but staying in this present moment. And it was, I felt, you know, at the time I was your typical kid. I thought I had an ordinary dad and mom, but I think I had a very extraordinary upbringing. Mm. Wasn't it all easier? I'm not painting it. My brothers and sisters are out there going, I don't know what house he grew up in. But I'm the youngest. They think I had it easy anyways. But there was a really some profound things. And Dr. Sire has been great at reflecting some of the things that I think are just everyday knowledge that I was able to pull from that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was an interesting. And we were talking at lunch today that probably you couldn't put two people in a room that had a much different background than Dr. Syra and I. And this commonality that we share is all of these belief systems that we both hold so dear. But other than that, it's not like we grew up next door to each other. Tell them about your stuff.
Okay, so my parents, my mom was born in East Africa in Uganda, and my dad was born in Tanzania. My mom's family moved around a lot, and so they were in Pakistan at the same time that my dad was going to university in Pakistan. So that's where my parents met, in Pakistan. And they moved to England. They lived there for many years. That's where I was born. So I was born in England. And then we came to Canada when I was about 5. Grew up in Calgary, had family in Vancouver, went to school in California. So I've kind of got a chance to live around different kinds of people and have the stories, right, of different cultures and different communities. And that's really shaped me. In my master's degree, I went to a program called Transpersonal Psychology, which is a meeting point between psychology and spirituality. And so I got the incredible opportunity to sit with elders in different traditions, in different wisdom traditions, and sit and learn, like, kind of at the feet of these great masters. And what was really neat about my program is that they connected that those ancient wisdom traditions with modern psychology, right? And so we're starting to see that some of this stuff, we've been saying it for hundreds of years. Thousands of years, right? As people, as humanity, like, these are not new concepts, but giving the modern language to it so it can make sense to people. Right? So that was my training. And then I went on and did my PhD, and I looked at, did some research around a particular, so the South Asian community was my interest area. And I looked at the mother-daughter relationship. And then I had some babies, took a little break while my kids were little. And then I jumped back into it full force, and
here we are.
Yeah. And so I've been working with people as a transpersonal therapist for, about 17, 18 years. My first own personal experience of this personal growth and spiritual work. And I was about maybe 15 years old. A cousin of mine had gone to this workshop. It was called Consensus Leadership. And he came back and he's like, "This isn't like nothing else, no other professional training you've ever been to. I'm 15, right? Like, come on." But I knew my family was struggling, and I felt like I needed to, like, help them in some way. There's just so much, like, intensity and so many things going wrong. So I went to this leadership workshop, and it changed my life. I learned about boundaries. I learned about you're allowed to say no. I learned about saying I'm feeling angry, not you're making me angry, right? These very simple things. And so I just got so thirsty for this information. I kept going and I kept learning, and I had mentors. And so I've been kind of immersed in this for decades now, doing my own work, and then kind of noticing how my teachers are doing it and making some refinements and adjusting it so that it's open to more and more people. So that's my story.
Yeah, I think that you hit it right at the end there. You hit, well, all of it was good. That piece about that you're doing your own work, mm-hmm. right? One of the things that we believe deeply is that you can only help people to go as deep as you've gone, right?
Right.
So we are all invested in our own healing and our own healing journey.
Yeah.
As a set point, right?
Right. It's like you can't take someone up a trail you've never been on.
It's not, just channel my dad there for a minute.
The trail's not even cut, right?
Yeah, yes.
And I think that's the hard work that you and me and Monique and Faizan have had to do, is cutting that trail in our own lives, and doing that work.
Doing that work, right?
Yeah.
So then when we sit with somebody, there's no judgment.
Right.
Because we might not have had exactly your experience, but we understand where you're coming from,
mm-hmm.
right? We can empathize and give validity and to that.
One of the things that really interests me is a concept called the dark night of the soul.
Right.
Right? Where people just have that hopelessness or that stuckness, or they're just like, I don't even know what my life is about. What's even the point? I really, really enjoy working with people in that space, because that's like the, the rock bottom kind of place where there's nowhere to go but up, right? There's nowhere else that we can go that can't get any lower, can't get worse. And then something shifts. And when people realize that it's within them, right? That spark is internal. Wow. Then they're unstoppable.
We do quite a bit of work working with people who have addictions and stuff, because it's kind of it's a big deal in our society right now. And those people are feeling like there's no other answer.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a real heart for those folks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's
so what brought you out of the bush then into the rest of the world?
Yeah, life, it was hard to date. My folks, they had different things that were going on, and I ended up being able to go to school off and on, and finished, I actually graduated high school in a regular high school, so that was good. And I loved people, I've always loved people. So when I was in school, I wasn't what you would think. I was on every team. I was on student council. I was Mr. Social, because I've probably been starved for it. And I was pretty young when I met my wife. We've been together 37 years or something now. So yeah. The other thing that happened to my wife's also an immigrant. She's from Holland and moved here when she was really young, and her parents started over. And there was that some commonality there. We weren't afraid to try different things. Mm. So we have had many different businesses and lived in many different places and tried many different things. And that's really stood us in good stead with doing this, because we really are, I think, we're working to be on that leading edge, mm-hmm. which sounds really romantic. It's often just a lot of work and stepping into places that nobody else was, it's crazy enough to step into. But I think we're hitting some magic sauce here. We're seeing the result, right?
Yeah.
And we needed partners like Zaira and Faizan to say, yeah, let's do this thing. And we're just doing it. Mm-hmm. We'll see, there's no guarantees. We just knew it was the right thing to do. Intuitively, we knew, mm-hmm. right?
Have you had any feedback from the community who's not necessarily involved as clients, but as outsiders with, maybe they've heard something about Dragonfly Wellness or...
We've actually made a couple of connections in the community. So with the Hospice Society, with the Family Connection. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of calling on us for doing trainings for their staff or volunteers. Just looking for opportunities to serve in the community. And they're not necessarily coming to us as clients, but we're kind of going to them to offer what we have to offer.
Yeah, it's a very much of a... You need to look for opportunities to give back.
Yeah, that we're like all of us, everyone, all of our staff. And this is something that we think about when we're recruiting people is, do you have a heart for service? And that's where we're coming from, right? How can we serve? How can we serve? How can we serve? So that's, our weekly meditation group is about how can we serve. On Mondays, every Monday online, we have a interactive kind of podcast where we talk about different topics. And that's free. That's online. It's free. It's open to the community. My husband's a life coach. And so him and I talk about topics. So for example, January is around romantic relationships and February is about communication. And so we'll have a theme and people will ask questions and just trying to give back in that way. Tuesdays. That's Mondays. That's the Monday musings. And then Tuesdays, there's a men's group that we're running.
At the center.
Mm-hmm. Wednesdays is our meditation group. So we're just trying to find ways to get the information out there.
Things are basically they're
free.
They're basically free.
Yeah. Unless you want to make a donation. Right.
So, yeah.
But yeah, they're like just whatever we can do to give back.
Right. If people want to contact you, obviously you must have a website.
Yes, we do. Dragonflywellness.ca.
That's kind of your purview. So what are some of the things that they might find there?
Right. So when you come to dragonflywellness.ca, you can meet our team. So we have all of our practitioners there and a little bit about what they do. There's some free courses that people can take, some free trainings. If people wanted to book sessions or things like that or learn more about the services, there's information about that there. They can book. They can email us through that website or, call us at the center if they've got questions. So that's probably the fastest way to find us is dragonflywellness.ca.
People can reach out to us and we will do like a 10 to 20 minute phone conversation.
Yep.
Because we don't want to bring somebody in that we can't help.
Exactly. So we do that initial consult.
Yeah. And because maybe your answer doesn't lie at Dragonfly and we're okay with that.
Yeah. Right? We have people in the community who we would refer out to. So if there's somebody, for example, who's coming in with a specialized challenge that maybe I don't have the training for or Texas doesn't, then we have members local and in the wider community across BC that can help people online or whatever. So we just want what's best for our client. So we have those referral networks as well. Yeah. So just,
and that's growing all the time.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the there's no protectionism. We really want people to understand that we just want what's best for that person, mm-hmm. right? And it doesn't necessarily have to be with me or you or even, like I said, Dragonfly. Just come in and put it this way. There's no shortage of folks who need help.
Right. And we want to align people to the best helper, whether that's us or someone else.
So the other question I had was if they wanted to contact you, obviously with the webpage, you've mm-hmm. got an email address up there. What about phoning you?
Yes. So 250-515-0332.
So people can call if they want to make an appointment or just chat with you.
Yeah.
And what about walk-ins?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Especially for stuff like massage and those things, we have a lot more walk-ins.
Yep.
Obviously, for Dr. Zaira and I personally, you're not going to get a walk-in. But but if you do want to, if it's right for you, then sometimes it's worth that month and a half wait.
Right.
If that's...
And we are building capacity. So have other practitioners that we're training to kind of do what we do as well.
Right. And they'll be supervised
by us.
By us, yeah.
Yeah. So at our reception, we have Monique is usually the one who'll answer the phone, and you could talk to her about whatever kind of whatever you're looking for, you know, whoever's right. listening. And then we'll set up an initial consult with one of the practitioners. It might be Texas, myself, or one of the other practitioners, depending on what people need. Some people don't need the consult. They'll just, like for a massage, for example, you might not need a consult. You just come in and get right. your massage. But maybe for some targeted energy transformation right. or some counseling work, there may be a conversation that's needed to make sure we have the right fit practitioner for each person.
And we try to be really forthright, you know. We're not typically a one and done type of a place, right? No. So people who are coming in with, you know, with years and years and years of trauma.
It's going to be more than one session.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
But not more than like 20, yeah. right? Like yeah. we're not no, there forever.
And we can talk a little bit about that, right? When the person shows up.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's important. We understand that, right?
Yeah. I know for myself as a therapist, most people see me about 6 to 10 sessions. Mm-hmm. And I work with people who can kind of, who are at that place where they can do that work. And if not, I have lots of people I can refer to who might need a longer stretch or, you know, a slower process.
Right. Yeah. And that growth, for some people, it starts with dealing with what they're struggling with. And then for some people, they want to go further and they want to explore, do I want to, is Reiki a part of my future? Or do I want to go deeper into this part of my life? And so we can support all of that
right.
growth too.
Yeah.
Because there's growth to kind of get you where you're supposed to be. But then sometimes there's growth to find out who it is I really want to be. Mm-hmm. And those are two different journeys.
It's kind of like a prevention. So we have like preventing illness and maintaining wellness.
Yes.
Right. So preventing illness is like, you know, something's up and I want to kind of get it fixed. And then maintaining wellness is what you're saying, the next steps, the deeper journey, the calling, those are those types of things. So it depends on where people are at.
Right.
Most people associate a butterfly moth with metamorphosis. Is there something about a dragonfly that's symbolic?
Oh, you've opened that wide open.
Dragonfly. So the reason that the dragonfly was really important for me is, if you think about a dragonfly's wings, right? They move really, really, really fast. And so when I was studying with a Lakota elder, and we were talking about different animals and specifically dragonfly, and he taught us that the dragonfly teaches us to be here in this moment now. Because 1 second later, the wings are going to change. And 1 second later, the wings are going to change. And so it's about being with people as they are right in this moment right now. Not how they used to be or even how they're going to be, but what's happening right now with you. And so it's butterfly is a little bit of a different metaphor, right? It's about like the caterpillar to the butterfly. For us, for the dragonfly, it's like you're exactly who you need to be right now and how can we support you here?
So when we started the business, we didn't have many things that were set in stone mm-hmm. by either side. Dr. Cyrus' only thing was, it has to be called Dragonfly Wellness Center. That was the only, I'm not moving on this.
Yeah.
So we let her have her way.
Possibly we could do this again.
Yeah. So,
there's a lot of struggling people out there who aren't what you would consider to be struggling people. You know what I mean?
From the outside.
From the outside, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that we reach out to those folks too, right? The professional who's tired of getting up every day and being responsible for a staff of 100 people. We can help with that, right? You do a great course on burnout, right? Before it actually happens.
Prevention.
Yeah, prevention's a big deal, right? So those type of things, we really want to help with that too, right?
Yeah.
Right.
We encourage people that are listening to our show to drop into the businesses that we talk about. And so hopefully you'll get some people coming in to say hi.
Yeah, it'd be great, right? Mm-hmm. And we're a people business, right? That's the whole reason
we're people.
That's it.
And welcome to join us as well. Check us out on a Wednesday night if you want to have kind of an experience of what we're offering.
And brush up against us, right? We're there. We're hanging out with a cup of tea, have a cookie, ask me the question or ask Dr. Zara the question that you wanted to ask. And it's super casual.
Mm-hmm.
And
you don't have to be a professional meditator.
Like, oh, gosh, no.
We sit on chairs. It's very easy.
Yeah, we have a lot of people say, well, I'd like to come, but I don't know how to meditate. And this is why we have this.
Right.
If you're interested, but meditation, is it a good thing? Pretty much universally now we know it's really a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy. It's not labor, and we say it's an hour long, and there's only about a 20-minute meditation in that.
Right.
Right. So we do a little bit of exercise, we do some meditation, we do some visiting. So pretty casual.
Great. Thank you for coming in and talking with us.
Thank you for having us. Yeah.
It's been very interesting.
That was great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.